If you're going away somewhere on holiday or to visit family and friends, do you find it difficult to know how much stuff to take with you? Are you the kind of person who travels light, or are you the sort of person, you know, you have to sit on the case to get it to close and, you know, everything is just jam-packed full? I was reading the other day about Prince Charles and Princess Diana. This is going back quite a number of years. They were going on a tour of the United States, just a four-day tour. And reportedly, they travelled with £7,000 weight of luggage for a four-day tour. And that's well over 100 times what you and I would be allowed to take if we're going on Ryanair or Flybe or some other airline without incurring some very heavy financial penalty. Imagine that, £7,000 weight of luggage taken with you for 4 days. Anyway, on the other end of the scale, I was interested. I was looking on the internet and I saw a video there of a former Bond girl, Rachel Grant. I didn't really know her. But on the video, it shows her with 100 items all spread out on two beds that she packs into a very small case that you might take as your hand luggage onto a flight. It's quite amazing the way in which, and all the tips she gives you about how you use elastic bands and sealed bags and all that kind of things to get over 100 items. No, they're not all tissues. Over 100 items into a very small case. You can check it out for yourself on the internet. But before we start on any journey, we have to think, what am I going to take with me? And of course, today we start a journey into a new year. We don't know how much is in that journey, what lies ahead of us. Our box is empty, as I say to the children. And we have to put all sorts of things into it. Some things we've planned to do, some things will happen that we haven't planned. An empty box, but it's a journey for us. And we're all setting out on the very first day of that journey today. What do we take with us? Well, there's some things that we certainly don't want to take with us. If we're wise, we won't take certain things. For example, we won't take the old hurts and wounds of last year and carrying them with us into the new year. You think about the people who maybe let you down or said something nasty to you last year, and the temptation is to kind of harbour that and to carry it with you into the new year and be bitter about it and be unforgiving. It's a wrong thing to do, and I want to suggest it's not the sort of thing we want to carry on into the new year. I was reading the other day what someone has said, resentment is like taking poison and hoping the other person dies. Bitterness doesn't work. So let's not carry with us some of those grudges that we maybe think we want to hold on to. Let's let go of those things of the past. Nor do we need to carry with us a sense of failure into the new year. Sometimes looking back, we think, maybe I let myself down in that situation, or I let someone else down, or maybe I let the Lord down. And, you know, we can be tempted to carry that sense of failure with us and be weighed down by that. But that's not a thing we should be doing. We should leave the past behind us. If we need to seek forgiveness, then seek forgiveness. If we need to turn to God and say, forgive me, Lord, for something I did or said or whatever, then do that. But let's not carry with us a sense of failure from 1 year into a new year. We don't want that to cripple us. We make a new start today, and what is the first day of the rest of our life? So we don't want to take those things with us. What do we want to take with us? Let me suggest three things we need to take with us. First of all, we need to take the presence of Christ with us. There are all sorts of situations in life where I suppose some of the best words we can hear are, don't worry, I'll come with you. There's a child going to school for the first time, very glad to know someone's going with him or her on that first day to school. Or that visit to the hospital that we're dreading. It's good when a loved one or friend says, don't worry, I'll come with you. Or maybe you're going to some address in Belfast, some place you've never been before. You don't know where you're going. You don't know the roads. But a friend says to you, don't worry, I'll come with you. I know the road to take. There are different situations where it's good to know someone is going with us. Well, for me, it's one of the most precious truths of the Christmas story, the news that Jesus fulfills that Old Testament promise of Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And for Joseph, of course, in the passage that we read together, that day when the angel appeared to him, here was Joseph setting off on a journey into an unknown future. There was tremendous reassurance for him in the angel's message as he set off on that journey into the unknown. Joseph, don't be afraid. What's going to happen is all God's doing. You're not alone in this situation. The journey ahead is, in fact, going to bring you great joy, and not only to you, but to the whole world. For Mary's baby is going to be very special. He's going to be the one who's come to save his people from their sins. And so, like Joseph, you and I today start into an unknown future. But the good news is that we can take Jesus Christ with us into that future, our Emmanuel. We can take him with us as our Savior, which is, of course, the most important thing of all. One of the wonderful things I think about Christmas is that it's a time of year when people do sense the Lord Jesus knocking on the door of their heart. We're brought near to Jesus through the Bethlehem story. There's something that touches our hearts about the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his Son into it. And for all of us, I think, the Lord Jesus comes knocking again on the door of our life. But maybe for some of you, for the very first time, Jesus has been knocking on the door of your life this Christmas. And the very best thing you can do, if that's so, is to obviously to open the door of your life and to ask him to come in and be with you as you journey into this new year. Every believing person can take Christ with them on this journey. For many of us, I think that is the most reassuring fact about this year ahead. We can take Jesus with us into an unknown future, into this journey, knowing that even if the worst should happen, even if death should come, we are safe and secure in his hands. We can take him with us as our Savior. We can take Christ with us also as our teacher. Because, isn't it true, we have so much to learn still. Even those of us who have been on the Christian path for a long time, we have still so much to learn. So much to learn about what it really means to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and follow him. So much to learn about what it means to obey his command, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Sometimes we're not very good at doing that. We have so much to learn about what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. We do love ourselves, but what does it really mean then to express that kind of love and thought and consideration towards those around us? We have so much to learn about what it means to build our life upon solid rock and not on shifting sand, listening to the teaching of Jesus and putting it into practice. We have so much to learn about what it means to serve him in a needy world. We've been reflecting a little bit upon the needs of the world in our prayers this morning. It is an extremely needy world, and not just far away, even sometimes on our doorstep. Are we serving him in a needy world in the way that we should? There's so much for us, all of us, still to learn. We need to take Christ with us as our teacher so that we can learn from him day by day. And we need him also as that ever-present friend and helper. I wonder, do you know the story about the little girl who was leafing through the children's book of illustrated Bible stories, and she was flicking through, and she came to the story about the feeding of the 5,000, and she began gazing intently at this illustration of Jesus giving out bread and fish to his disciples. And seeing that the child's fascination with the picture, Mum came along and explained, you know, this isn't the real Jesus, it's only an artist's impression of what he looked like. And the little girl just kept staring at the picture, and she said, well, that may be so, but it sure looks like Jesus. And she obviously had a picture in her head of what Jesus would look like. A kind person, a friendly person, a helpful person. And here he was helping others in their time of need. And again, when you and I read through the Gospels, we do get a picture of what Jesus is like. Not the physical picture, but a picture of the kind of person who walked this earth. The one who was the constant friend of his disciples, even when at times they were stupid and let him down. He was still there for them, never abandoned them, never let them down. Constant friend to them, encouraging them to live holy lives. And that friend and helper to the many different troubled people who sought him out, needing healing, needing deliverance, needing help in distress, crying out to him in despair. They always found one who was a friend and a helper. We need to know that as we begin our journey into this new year, we can take this Jesus with us. Someone who's real, not just a picture in a book, someone who's real. Someone whom we can trust, someone we can depend upon. So that when we do come to that time of trial or temptation, and there will be times like that ahead for all of us, when we come to those times and we're in a despair and we cry, Lord, help me, then we know that we can depend on him, our Emmanuel, our God with us, one. We need to take the presence of Christ with us. Secondly, we need to take the promises of God with us. I read this recently. Everett Storms was a school teacher in Canada. He set himself the challenge of discovering how many promises there are in the Bible that are made by God. And so for a year and a half, he searched through the scriptures and he took notes. During his 27th reading of the Bible during that period of time, he concluded that the Bible contains 7,487 promises from God to men and women. 7,487. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Even if some of those promises are repeated again and again, like promises like, do not fear, for I'll be with you, that kind of promise is repeated at different places in the Bible. But even allowing for that, and allowing for the fact he might not be a good mathematician, might have lost count here and there, it's still amazing. Over 7,000 promises of God to ordinary people like you and me there in the pages of the Scripture. The promises of God, the Creator, to his creatures. Ordinary, weak people like us. Promises to people like Joseph. And Joseph was given promises in this passage that we read. Mary is with child, and that child will be very special, will be the Savior of the world. Promises to an ordinary man like Joseph, facing an unexpected situation in his life. The promises of God. Apostle Peter, writing one of his letters, 2 Peter 1, verse 4, writes about his very great and precious promises. And so they are. And so surely they're an essential to pack into our case. Even if we need to leave something else out, we need to take with us the promises of God and carry them on our journey. Because they're promises of guidance for us. For example, in Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. There are promises that God gives us that if we need wisdom in life, we can seek it when we're struggling to know what to do. For example, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. There are promises for us of help in times of temptation. For example, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And there are promises about how God answers prayer. For example, Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And there are promises of grace. Grace to sustain us when we feel overwhelmed in life, perhaps by our sins and failures, or perhaps by our doubts, or whatever it is, when we feel totally overwhelmed. We have a promise, like the promise of Jesus in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are all kinds of promises that we need to take with us. Promises for when we feel anxious or afraid or lonely. Promises for when we feel far from God or when we feel inadequate to face life. Promises for when friends let us down. Promises for when we feel like hitting back. Promises for when we face danger, and even for when we face death. those lovely words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. We need to take the presence of Christ with us, and we also need to take the promises of God with us, for who knows what day in the future we will need one of those promises to lean on it very heavily indeed. And thirdly, we need to take the power of the Holy Spirit with us. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he assured him he's not alone going on this journey into an unexpected, unknown future. The coming days were in God's hands. That was being made very clear to Joseph. He also promised him that Mary's baby would be safely delivered. That wasn't a given back then. Mary's baby will be safely delivered. This baby will prove to be a wonderful savior for the world. And he revealed that all of this was going to be possible because of the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit would cause this to happen in Mary's life and the birth of this savior. The power of the Holy Spirit was going to change everything in life for Mary and for Joseph. And of course, the power of the Holy Spirit is something you and I really need to take with us into a new year. For it's the power that changes everything for us in our lives as well. In the first place, for believers, the Holy Spirit lives in us. It's a precious truth that we sometimes don't reflect on enough. From the time that we surrender our life to Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in your little life and my little life. Someone has put it this way. The Christian is like a house with many rooms. He or she is a person with many interests, relationships, and talents. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit enters our house, our lives. Slowly he moves from part to part, clearing away the dust of sin, opening up the windows of the mind so that God's light can shine in and filling us with new life. What a reassurance for every believer to take into the new year. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in me. A constant reminder that I belong to God. I am his child, a child by grace. I am adopted into his family. How important that is. Remember what the Apostle Paul said about this reality in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us as we commit our life to Christ. And we take him with us day by day. In the second place, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. In other words, he works in us to change us, to make us more holy, to make us the men and women of God that he wants us to be. He wants us to reflect more and more of the love of God and more of the goodness of God in our lives. And so when he comes into our life, he plants new life in us. And that new life produces fruit. And you'll remember how the Apostle Paul writes about this fruit in Galatians 5, verse 22, where he describes the fruit of the Spirit in this way as being love, joy, and peace. And then patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Who would not want that kind of fruit to be growing in their life? And so for those people who argue, sometimes people do argue, how could I ever change? How could I ever be a Christian? How could I ever live for God? How could I, in my situation, be a believer? Here's the answer. When we truly surrender our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in to change us, to help us, to encourage us, to enable us to live that life that God wants us to live. He sanctifies us to make us more and more holy. And then in the third place, the Holy Spirit empowers us for service. I read this the other day. Power can be used in at least two ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. The energy in 10 gallons of petrol, for instance, can be released explosively by dropping a lighted match into the can. Or it can be channeled through a car engine in a controlled burn and used to transport a person 500 miles or more. Explosions are spectacular, but controlled burns have lasting effect, staying power. The Holy Spirit works in both ways. At Pentecost, he exploded on the scene. His presence was like tongues of fire. Thousands were affected by one burst of God's power. But he also works in a controlled way in individual lives, in the lives of ordinary people like you and me, enabling us to serve him day by day, week by week, year by year, giving us the staying power that we need, the desire to keep going, the energy to keep going, to want to keep on serving him. And isn't that so important for those of us who are involved in the work of God's kingdom in whatever way or whatever place? Important for those of us who as Christian parents or grandparents are trying to have an influence on our children, our young people, and to keep at this work, that God will help us to persevere and keep working and praying and keep setting an example. We need staying power, because this sometimes is for a long haul before we begin to see results. And for all of us in our everyday life, whether we're at school or college or university or in our workplace, if we're Christian people, we need to live for Christ there, not just now and again, but every single day. We need to be consistent in our life, our walk, our witness, our service. And we do serve him in those places. It's very important that we do, that we're known to be Christians, that people can watch us and observe what a Christian is like in school, in college, in work. We need the power of the Holy Spirit within us to keep us going day by day. And within the life of the church, so many of you, I'm sure, have jobs to do in the life of the church, whether you're an elder, a committee member, or Sunday school teacher, a BB officer, a GB officer, you help with youth club or youth fellowship or children's church or mothers and toddlers or whatever practical thing you do, a tiny job or a big job. It's not just something you say, well, I'll do it this week and that's the end, thank you very much. No, this is something for every week of the year, every year, year by year, until the time comes when God says, lay that burden down. We need strength, energy, perseverance, so as we don't give up. And there are times when the devil would want us to give up and discourage and say, what's the point? What I do is of no consequence. Don't ever believe that. If you're doing it for Christ, it is of consequence. It is important. He will use it. And so all of us, musicians, choir members, whoever we are, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives if we are to serve Christ well. And so today, we start on this journey. We're not literally taking a case and filling it, but we're thinking about this empty box of our life from now on. We leave the past behind. It's an empty box. We're starting to put in it the things that are going to be this year for us. Please think about this. Take the presence of Christ with you. Take the promises of God with you. And take the power of the Holy Spirit with you. That inner power and energy and strength that we need day by day. May God bless us all and keep us faithful to him through the journey this year. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way Joseph and Mary responded to the challenge that was set before them, setting out on an unknown journey into the future. So unexpected, not quite sure how things were going to work out, and yet trusting you for every day and for every new challenge. And we pray that we might be the same as we begin a journey into this new year today. As we take the empty box of our life, help us to fill it with good things, with godly things, with those things that will be a blessing to others, with those things that will extend your kingdom in this community and further afield. Help us to open the door of our life afresh to Christ the Saviour, that we might take him with us. Help us to be determined that every day we will read the Bible for ourselves and look for fresh promises to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And help us day by day to yield our lives afresh, that the Holy Spirit might fill us and create new fruit in us and use us and give us strength for the journey. And help us, Father, at the same time to leave behind those things that we have no need to carry with us into another year, those hurts, those grievances, those grudges. Help us to leave them behind and to forgive those who need to be forgiven, or to seek forgiveness if that's what we need. Help us too to set behind us last year's failures and realize that today is a brand new page of the book, the first day of the rest of our life. And so, Lord, help us to live for you, to live for your Son day by day. And we pray that whatever happens in this year ahead, good or bad, that we'll know that we're not alone, that you go with us. For we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.